From the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network studios in Des Moines, I'm Mark Magnuson, and welcome to Iowa Ag Matters. In today's show, I'm joined by Matt Youngman to discuss the preparations for the 2024 Farm Progress Show. Riley gets the latest export sales news from Greg McBride of Allendale, and Andy and Dustin discuss the Choose Iowa Dairy Cost Share Grants. It's time now to welcome our hosts, Dustin Huffman and Andy Peterson.
Mark, it's a beautiful Friday across the great state of Iowa. Another week has is drawing to a close, and forecast looking a lot better here for planting activities to really ramp up after things dry out. Wide array of rainfall totals. We received almost another inch yesterday. I know maybe a quarter of an inch to a half an inch was much more common, Dustin, but it's fairly wet out there now. It's going to take a few days for this to soak off.
Yeah, that it is. And, you know, the cooler temperatures, I know we had some frost warnings up last night as well. And I know that's not the news you want to hear when you've got the seeds in the ground, but they're still halfway protected there. At least the plants aren't quite germinating, but there might be a few spots where that was a danger. And of course, so, you know, that's also going to slow down that drying process unless we get some wind and some heat. It's going to put things at a snail's pace. But obviously, things usually seem to work out for the better, and we'll hopefully see that keep going. But of course, the markets are going to be watching that, especially when it comes to crop progress. And of course, we're going to find out today what's going on. Matt Bennett of AgMarket.net sits down right now with Mark Magnuson.
Joined today by Matt Bennett of AgMarket.net for our opening market discussion. Matt, what are we seeing taking place in the grains?
It looks like we're going to have a little bit of a better start. You know, it's been a rough week. Really haven't seen a whole lot in the way of upward movement. Corn market just can't seem to find a buyer here all week. But on the overnight market, you know, of course, you had some Israel fired missile or drones or whatnot at Iran, and that really got the market hyped up. I mean, I think wheat was up 20 cents at one time, and then of course you had crude oil market was screaming higher at the time. But heck, crude oil is, about $4 off the overnight highs, you know, but still you see the corn market higher. So, you know, who knows? Maybe we're going to see a little bit of a rally. That's what we saw last Friday after a pretty crummy week. So hopefully we'll get the same thing here today.
Matt, when we talk about South America, we focus a lot on Brazil, of course, because it is such a big player in the world marketplace. But Argentina has been dealing with some issues with its corn. Could you tell us what's happening with the disease pressure they're dealing with?
Yeah, I mean, when you look at that, the pressure they've got, the first thing is that their estimates continue to get ratcheted lower. I mean, they're saying a lot of these areas, they're seeing 10 to 15 cent declines in yields expected production, of course, where no harvest has been done. But bottom line is that it's not what they once thought. The other thing we continue to hear is that acreage might be a little lower than what they originally thought as well, which does make sense, Mark. I mean, you look, for instance, in our part of the world, whenever prices are high and profitability is high, that's the case in a lot of other places in the world. And of course, we know right now that it's a little more challenging here, not only with prices, but with profit margins. And I don't think that that's something that other people are immune to. So, you know, with them having some of the same challenges we are, it's not surprising that you maybe see a few less acres, first of all. And, you know, if you go ahead and tack onto that some production losses, it changes things. So USDA is at 55 right now, and most of the folks down in that part of the world are 50, if not a little bit below.
That's really interesting, Matt, and it makes a lot of sense. And then real quickly here before we wrap up, you're a farmer in Illinois. Have you been able to get out into the fields? Have you dried out enough to get out into the fields?
Yeah, actually, we were getting close. And then earlier this week, we were forecasted to get some rain on Monday into Tuesday, and we missed that rain. So we decided we'd go ahead and start planting some corn and beans on our pattern tiled ground, on our good black ground. You know, we really saw conditions get just pretty much ideal, and then we were able to get running. Now, as far as what happened last night, we had anywhere from a half inch to an inch and a half. Fortunately, everywhere that we planted, we only had about a half an inch of rain, so I think we're going to be all right as far as everything getting up and going. But bottom line is we dried out a ton here. The thing that really got us ready to go, of course, was these 80-degree temperatures just really dried out the topsoil to where we could get in there and work it and get it planted.
Well, we'll have more from Matt Bennett of AgMarket.net coming up a little later on in the program. Andy Peterson's here now with his three big Iowa Ag Matters.
number three.
Learning the importance of giving back through FFA, as Audubon FFA members recently took a mission trip with GoServe Global to help build homes for those who are in need of shelter. GoServe Global provides support to people who are in need, a lot of it coming in the form of those Sukkot safety homes. Eddie Hooker says in addition to giving back, she enjoyed the opportunity to observe how people over there live their lives.
It was such an incredible trip. It was such an amazing opportunity that our FFA chapter got to be able to be a part of and just spread joy and spread love to those in Liberia. It was awesome to be able to have all the children around us and to be able to just spread joy and live simply.
She also said the type of agriculture in Liberia was far different than what we have here in America.
Number two.
Helping to improve Iowa's dairy industry, the Choose Iowa program, as Iowa Secretary of Agriculture Mike Nagy has announced 20 Iowa dairies across 12 counties that have been awarded Choose Iowa Dairy Innovation Grants to increase on-farm dairy processing, incorporate labor-saving technology, and expand the availability of Iowa dairy products for customers to enjoy. As the Secretary says, the grant was exceptionally competitive with requests far exceeding available funding. So we know these, quote, are great projects that will have a positive impact on these farms and the dairy industry as a whole.
Number one.
The only option for the Cattle Market Price Discovery and Transparency Act is the Farm Bill, according to supporter Iowa Senator Charles Grassley. He says that's the only option to move the bill forward. Now, he's long supported the legislation. However, he says he no longer believes it can stand on its own.
It's something that we would try to do if we had markup in the Senate Ag Committee. It's something I would try to do. But since we aren't having that markup, that's out of question. We'll never get that bill up separately.
He says it's key legislation, though, for family farmers, as the big four meat packers make it difficult to price cattle on a fair market basis. I'm Andy Peterson. Those are your three big Iowa Ag Matters.
The Iowa Soybean Association celebrates National Soy Foods this month in April. Did you know foods containing soy protein provide 9 essential amino acids and reduce the risk for heart disease? Foods made from soybeans such as edamame, tofu, and soy milk are packed with fiber, iron, and zinc. Create a healthy lifestyle while supporting Iowa farmers by consuming more soy-based foods. Brought to you by the Iowa Soybean Association, powered by the Soybean Checkoff, celebrating 60 years of moving the industry forward.
Well, more to come here on Iowa Ag Matters, including a big announcement from the Iowa Department of Agriculture and Land Stewardship. Secretary Nagy announced 20 Choose Iowa Dairy Innovation Grants yesterday. We'll talk more about that coming up here on Iowa Ag Matters, online at iowaagnet.com. Stay with us.
Well, big day yesterday for the Iowa Department of Agriculture and Land Stewardship and good Iowa Ag Matters advocate, Secretary Mike Nagy, as they announced 20 Choose Iowa grant recipients in the dairy industry, which, of course, they put these things out a while ago as far as innovation grants go, asked some dairies to apply for their projects. And if you look at the projects being done, it's always an intriguing conversation, Dustin Hoffman. I'm Andy Peterson, by the way. This is Iowa Ag Matters, your authentic, official, and trusted voice of Iowa agriculture. Mark and Riley are here with us as well. Are there fewer people involved in the dairy industry in Iowa? Absolutely. Is the dairy industry in Iowa still very strong? Absolutely. Where it is, in a lot of cases, is direct-to-consumer, handling the processing and the marketing and the sales on the farm. And, for example, the Cinnamon Ridge Dairy, congratulations to Joan Maxwell and John. They got a grant to utilize a new piece of equipment to make cheese making more efficient. Country View and Dairy outside of Fayette, that's Bob and crew. They're putting in a conveyor belt. Picket Fence Creamery near Woodward, of course, they hosted the ceremony yesterday. They're replacing a pasteurizer. Homestead Dairy, Tom and crew in Waukon, expanding their frozen breaded cheese line. So those are neat. There's some labor-reducing technology as well with our friends at, say, Prairie Star near Waukon. They're putting in the robots and others. But exciting stuff. Choose Iowa, obviously, helping to do all of this, Dustin. And, you know, you have to advance and overcome and innovate. And that value add in the dairy industry has been key for survival for these operations.
Yeah, that it has been, and that's something that's come on a lot in the last decade or so. You know, we saw it up in Minnesota too when I was up there. A lot of farmers finding ways to market their products directly and are doing a great job of doing it. It opens up a niche market because, you know, we've talked about this before. Consumers like to know the story and also the source of where their food is coming from. And when you can do that and turn a profit, make sure there's a demand, because we know sometimes with dairy prices, I mean, dairy industry has been one of those facets of the ag industry we've talked about quite a bit, you know, that has really just taken it on the chin for a lot of years. But the thing is, those who are there and are still producing it, and those great Iowa farmers that are still doing it, have become resilient, have become resourceful, but also the same token, you know, having to become more efficient, like you said, with the labor-saving things, you know, bringing some more equipment in, health monitoring systems to help to keep an eye on these animals, trying to get monitoring systems that go in the ear tags so they can monitor each cow individually and more carefully. You know, there's so much more that gets done. I mean, they're even talking about some of these that have manure management, equipment that's going out as well to kind of help, find a market for some of that. You know, we saw that when I was in Brazil, a lot of reuse of the manure in other facets beyond just fertilizer that we're finding. And so there's a lot of resourcefulness going on, a lot of great things being done, and hats off to them. And of course, just another great program that we're doing here to help keep Iowa ag mattering. We'll be back right after this.
April is chock full of monthly observances that center around food. So whether it's National Brunch Month, National Garlic Month, National Pecan Month, Filipino Food Month, National Grilled Cheese Month, National Garden Month, National Soft Pretzel Month, or my personal favorite, National Bacon, Lettuce, and Tomato Sandwich Month, Iowa farmers can be proud that they help produce the foods that people eat all over the world. If not for farmers around the country, and especially here at home, none of these celebrations would be as easy to observe. American farmers truly are helping feed the world. So if you're going to take part in observing any of these food-related celebrations, make sure you take the time to thank the American farmers who produce food of all kinds to meet every dietary preference and make these celebrations of and around food so much more memorable for you and your loved ones. And also, if you're going to celebrate around all these food products, make sure you invite your friends at the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network. We'll bring an appetite as we help support American farmers, especially here in Iowa.
Well, moving supplies from the countryside to the processor in regard to grains and oil seeds, in a lot of cases, still hand-to-mouth. We've been seeing that in the statewide cash elevator prices. Today, things may be a little bit quieter at the end of the week. Dustin's got the numbers for you next here on your authentic, official, and trusted voice of Iowa agriculture. This is Iowa Ag Matters.
Let's run down those elevator prices for you here on Iowa Ag Matters. I'm Dustin Huffman. Not much change here from yesterday to today. Let's take a look at where the numbers are. Let's start at ADM Burlington, where they're a penny over on corn at $4.30. Soybeans a dime under at $11.26. Cargill Eddyville a dime over on corn, cash bid $4.39. New Co-op Algona a dime over on corn, $4.39. Soybeans 55 cents under at $10.81. At Ag State Sheldon, they are 25 cents over on corn. They're at 454. Soybeans 65 cents under at 1071. Ag State Elta, 7 cents under on corn. Cash bid 422. Soybeans 55 cents under at 1081. Cargill Cedar Rapids, 27 cents over on corn. They're at 456 today for the cash bid. Soybeans a nickel under. Cash bid 1141. At Nexus Co-op Marble Rock, 15 cents over on corn, 444. Soybeans 45 cents under at 1091. Lincoln Way Ethanol Nevada, 18 cents over on corn, cash bid 447. ADM Des Moines, 8 cents under on soybeans. They're at 1128 for their cash bid. New Co-op Red Oak, even today on corn, 429. Soybeans 50 cents under at 1086. Mid-Iowa Cooperative Green Mountain, 10 cents under on corn, 419. Soybeans 48 cents under. They're at 1088. New Co-op Sheraton, 15 cents under on corn, cash bid 414. Soybeans 55 cents under at 1081. At Walk-On Feed Ranch, 6 cents under on corn, 423. Soybeans 40 cents under at 1096. At New Co-op Glidden, they're a dime over on corn, cash bid 439. Soybeans 50 cents under, they're at 1086. Innovative Ag Services Farley, 6 cents over on corn, 435. Soybeans 39 cents under, cash bid there, $10.97. And at Cargill Muscatine, they're 4 cents under on corn today, 425. Soybeans are 13 cents under, they're coming in at $11.23. Cash, corn, and soybean bids are subject to change without notice. Always check with your local elevator when making sales to obtain the most recent price. That's a check of the elevator prices here on Iowa Ag Matters.
The Iowa Soybean Association celebrates National Soy Foods this month in April. Did you know foods containing soy protein provide 9 essential amino acids and reduce the risk for heart disease? Foods made from soybeans such as edamame, tofu, and soy milk are packed with fiber, iron, and zinc. Create a healthy lifestyle while supporting Iowa farmers by consuming more soy-based foods. Brought to you by the Iowa Soybean Association, powered by the Soybean Checkoff, celebrating 60 years of moving the industry forward.
More market information still to come here on Iowa Ag Matters, including a complete rundown of the midday numbers. Andy and Mark will have that for you in just a moment. Don't forget about the free market podcast, free market analysis sent right to your mobile device through Google, Amazon, Apple, Spotify, and Podbean, and online at iowaagnet.com. We'll be back with more Iowa Ag Matters right after this.
Balancing out a little bit, I guess, in this week's export sales report, we dive into the numbers here that have been better for soybeans and maybe not quite as good for corn, even though corn has been much stronger as of late than our soybean export program. Greg McBride from Allendale providing the details now to our own Riley Smith. Riley?
First off, Greg, what came out on the report this morning for corn and soybean exports?
A little bit of a ho-hum report. Everything came within the range of estimates. Corn, 566,000 tons. Range of estimates, 300 to 1 million. Beans came in at 749. Now, that was at the very middle of the range of estimates. Overall, it was a fairly good split between the old crop and the new crop. So this is a little bit disappointing on the corn side of things, but it's a little bit of a rebound on the bean side of things. But overall, we're still struggling with export demand right now, especially in that bean market.
Now, we had mentioned a little bit before we started recording here about flash sales. Technically, some to China, they got switched over from unknown. Tell us a little bit about just that situation there.
Yeah, not necessarily a flash sale. This was on the weekly report, but you had beans. We sold 131,000 tons to China this week. 121,000 of that was previously designated for unknown destinations. So they were already logged. It just gets switched over in the balance sheet. So it was sales to China, but unfortunately, it's not brand new sales. So, and that's kind of been the par for the course for beans lately. It's sales that we've made previously, but they just get assigned to China. They haven't been buying new from us.
And then, how are we lining up with the USDA's export goals on the year?
So on corn, this is the second week in a row of kind of a miss overall on numbers. We're probably okay, but right now we are still looking at just barely missing the USDA's goal by about 83 million bushels. Now I say barely, and 83 million, those don't necessarily go hand in hand, but when you're talking about a 15 billion bushel production or a 2 billion bushel carryout, 83 million is a fairly small number. On the bean side of things, we are still missing. We're probably going to miss, and this is a bigger number, even though the actual number is small, the percentage is off. 79 million bushels is what we're missing by on the beans. But when you're talking about a 300 or 400 million bushel carryout, that's a big difference. So the percentage-wise on the beans is a bigger hit. And as we look at pricing, we are seeing the U.S. advantage on corn still holding somewhere between $4 and $10. On the bean side of things, we've narrowed it. It's now gone from that $50 to $60, even $70 advantage for Brazil. It's now in the front month, it's $21. And in the deferred contract or deferred delivery time frame, it's down to $9. So that advantage that Brazil has is narrowing, but it's still an advantage and it's still substantial out to about that June time frame.
All right, Greg, lots of great information today. For those of our listeners who'd like to get in touch and learn more from the folks at Allendale, how can they do that?
Give us a call at 800-2-MARKET. That's 800-262-7538.
Well, we appreciate that update there on the export sales with Greg. Always look forward to his information. Right now, speaking of information, Andy Peterson's got round two of the three big Iowa Ag Matters.
Number three.
Allowing competition in the herbicide market. That's what six of the nation's major commodity groups have said in a letter to the U.S. International Trade Commission, encouraging it to vote no and advancing a petition from Corteva Agriscience. That petition asked the ITC to place anti-dumping and countervailing duties on imports of 2,4-D shipped in from India and China. The letter says if the case continues beyond the preliminary stage, farmers across the country could find it difficult to access critical supplies at an affordable cost, as Corteva is the only, quote, U.S. supplier of 2,4-D.
Number two.
Learning the importance of giving back through FFA, as Audubon FFA members recently took a mission trip with GoServe Global to help build homes for those who are in need of shelter. GoServe Global provides support to people who are in need, a lot of it coming in the form of those Sukup safety homes. Eddie Hooker says in addition to giving back, she enjoyed the opportunity to observe how people over there live their lives.
It was such an incredible trip. It was such an amazing opportunity that our FFA chapter got to be able to be a part of and just spread joy and spread love to those in Liberia. It was awesome to be able to have all the children around us and to be able to just spread joy and live simply.
She also said the type of agriculture in Liberia was far different than what we have here in America.
Number one.
The only option for the Cattle Market Price Discovery and Transparency Act is the Farm Bill, according to supporter Iowa Senator Charles Grassley. He says that's the only option to move the bill forward. Now, he's long supported the legislation. However, he says he no longer believes it can stand on its own.
It's something that we would try to do if we had markup in the Senate Ag Committee. It's something I would try to do. But since we aren't having that markup, that's out of question. We'll never get that bill up separately.
He says it's key legislation, though, for family farmers, as the big four meat packers make it difficult to price cattle on a fair market basis. I'm Andy Peterson. Those are your three big Iowa Ag Matters.
The Iowa Soybean Association celebrates National Soy Foods this month in April. Did you know foods containing soy protein provide 9 essential amino acids and reduce the risk for heart disease? Foods made from soybeans such as edamame, tofu, and soy milk are packed with fiber, iron, and zinc. Create a healthy lifestyle while supporting Iowa farmers by consuming more soy-based foods. Brought to you by the Iowa Soybean Association, powered by the Soybean Checkoff, celebrating 60 years of moving the industry forward.
Certainly some concern, as Dustin mentioned to start us off here today, about the frost that's in the forecast. As we do have, by the way, some soybeans that are up in Iowa. Now, very few, but there were a couple, including an ag service in Delaware County that planted some February 29th. Took them until earlier in the week to emerge. In fact, they're out there planting the rest of the plot, as I understand it. And the little beans were coming up. I've seen pictures, so I know they exist. But 33 degrees, and those little guys aren't gonna survive that. Also, obviously, concern on the sprayers, tenders, anything that's had water in it about breakage. So just something to be aware of here the next couple of days, Dustin.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I mean, we knew that that's what was a definite possibility. That's the only thing about April. I mean, we can get some great days to get ahead of the game, but you always have got that risk, and that's, of course, what we have those safety protocols in place for and programs in place for to help us get through that and get things reestablished. So hopefully we won't hear too much of any loss, and it's going to be probably few and far between. But we'll have a check of the markets coming up, midday numbers. We'll have that with Andy and Mark right after this on Iowa Ag Matters.
This is the Midday Market Update on Iowa Ag Matters. I'm Mark Magnuson. Joined today by Lori Carter of Comstock for our Midday Market Discussion. Lori, a complete reversal pretty much from the last couple of days when we talk about green on the screen for the grains today. What's happening with the grains?
Well, we do have all of them higher. Kansas City wheat up 3, Chicago wheat's the leader in the wheat complex up 10 cents. Corn up 6, 5 to 6, and beans up 15. We had some additional strength overnight, maybe on tensions between Israel and Iran, and then some of that coming back down because then it comes out that maybe both of them have decided to not escalate further, so then the market calming down a little bit. I think we do have some supportive information out of lower Argentina corn numbers and even a little bit supportive long-term weather forecast. So those several things there are supporting the market today, and it's a welcome sight to see green across the board on the grains.
That was Lori Carter with Comstock. Here's Andy Peterson with more livestock news.
Thanks, Market Man Mark Magnuson. Off we go into the beef trade first. As always, 118,000 head of daily estimated slaughter. That is 8,000 less than a week ago and 10,000 less than a year ago. Boxes are weaker here at midday to finish off the week. Strong movement, though. 108 loads of choice cut selling. Down a dollar and a penny. 295.80 select off $1.61. 289.27 on just 15 loads of sales. Spread widening a bit to $6.53. Pork-wise, daily estimated slaughter total numbers, 486,000 head, 2,000 more than a week ago, and 7,000 more than a year ago. Cash market-wise, yesterday's trade wrapped up here for comparison purposes. Barrels and gilts producers sold on a carcass basis, negotiated purchase-wise. We finished with 3,500 head, so a bit of a low day as far as volume goes. Market was 65 cents stronger, weighted average price $89.78. As far as formula purchases go, 164,000 head of sales, so a fairly strong run. Weighted average price, $89.54, so that market backed off about 38 cents. As far as what's happening here today, 2,694 head of negotiated purchases. Market sharply lower, down $1.80 to $88.69. Formula purchases, 105,000 head. Weighted average price, $90.36. So that market jumping back up 76 cents.
April is full of monthly observances that center around food. So whether it's National Brunch Month, National Grilled Cheese Month, or my personal favorite, National Bacon, Lettuce, and Tomato Sandwich Month, farmers can be proud of the work they do to produce the foods that people eat all over the world. So if you take part in observing any of these food-related celebrations, make sure you thank the American farmers who produce the food of all kinds to meet every dietary preference and make these celebrations of and around food so much more memorable. This message from the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network.
At midday, May corn is up 6.5 at 4.33 1/4. May soybeans up 15.5 at 11.49 3/4. May soybean meal up $6.40 at $3.44.40. May soybean oil down 6 cents at $44.06. Chicago wheat up 10.25 at $5.47 even. Minneapolis wheat up 4.25 at $6.43 even. Kansas City hard red wheat up 1 3/4 at $5.79 even. And May oats up 3.25 at $3.58 even. On the Merck, June live cattle down 30 cents at $175.07. May feeder cattle down 92 cents at $241.62. May lean hogs up $1.17 at $95.90. That was a check of the midday markets on Iowa Ag Matters. I'm Mark Magnuson.
Livestock time here. Analysis Wise is the focus of the conversation. Matt Bennett from AgMarket.net returning. Here's Mark.
Matt, let's flip over to the other side of the ag marketplace in the livestock complex. What are we seeing with the cattle and hogs?
Yeah, we've got a cattle on feed report here today, which is certainly going to be one of those that we're going to want to keep an eye on. But, I think that the trade has been expecting less bearish numbers than what we got last month. So it's been an interesting year in that January, of course, was super cold. We had, snow in a lot of the part of the cattle country, and so placements were definitely lower, which really inflated placements in the month of February, which of course was released in March. And so the placements for March released in April, most are thinking, hey, they're not going to be near as bearish as what they were before. But at the same time, it just seems like this cattle market is in more of a consolidation type phase. I mean, you look at a lot of your moving averages, everything but the 200-day is trying to converge here. And so, I don't know. I've got to think that in the long run, the fundamentals are still there. But there's a few things working against it. Last thing I'll say as far as what's working against it, is the equities. The equities, whereas the Dow just a couple of weeks ago was trading 40,000, you're 38,000 now. We're trading below 38,000 overnight. I don't know, in equities and whenever equities take a hit, typically there's a pretty strong correlation, to what's going on as far as livestock is concerned, especially fat cattle. So, you know, I think it's a mixed bag, and I look for more consolidation.
Maybe this is a difficult question to ask, but why is it when the overall economy turns like that and the equities, like you mentioned, why are they so affected, or why do they affect the cattle market, the livestock market specifically?
That's a really good question, and the answer is this. Just from some what I've researched over the years, you know, if consumer confidence is down and folks, which indicates people just don't feel as good about their situation, you know, when that's the situation, you got to ask, you know, what are the first things that maybe go, you know? And so here you got a Friday night, you know, and, you know, if you live close to the city or if you live anywhere next to a nice steakhouse, what's it cost for a couple of people to go eat a steak? You know, it's probably going to cost you $100-$150 to get a couple of steaks, you know, and to be able to go out in that fashion. And I think a lot of folks, whenever consumer confidence dips, you know, they cut back maybe on the highest price meal that they typically might go out for. So the one thing that has insulated that, and I still think that it could have lingering effects. Part of the reason that beef demand's been so strong, Mark, is this COVID situation. People found out, hey, you know, I can go to the grocery store and buy myself three steaks for the price of one at a steakhouse, you know, and I can cook it the way I want to cook it, and I can still eat good. So, you know, I think that that's insulated us that from that somewhat.
The Iowa Soybean Association celebrates National Soy Foods this month in April. Did you know foods containing soy protein provide 9 essential amino acids and reduce the risk for heart disease? Foods made from soybeans such as edamame, tofu, and soy milk are packed with fiber, iron, and zinc. Create a healthy lifestyle while supporting Iowa farmers by consuming more soy-based foods. Brought to you by the Iowa Soybean Association, powered by the Soybean Checkoff, celebrating 60 years of moving the industry forward.
Well, we are going to have more for you come up here in Iowa Ag Matters. We'll talk with Matt Youngman coming up, and Mark Magnus will have more on that, so stay with us.
Well, the Farm Progress Show will be here before we know it. An international event right here in our own backyard. A shout out to our friends at KWBG and Boone, the home radio station for Farm Progress Show this year. And we have some exciting promotions coming up around that show as well. Right now, Mark Magnuson catches up with the boss, Matt Youngman, the latest from an exhibitor meeting the other day.
Getting ready for the show coming up in August. And Matt, right off the bat, I'm going to ask you to remind us those dates, please.
Yes, thank you for bringing that up. August 27th, 28th, and 29th, the Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday before Labor Day.
And we were here for a meeting about a month ago. That was a separate meeting for the traffic situation of getting to the show. There was a new route that opened up, also getting all the emergency services personnel on the same page. Today, a little bit different story for the meeting because you had vendors and exhibitors coming together, meeting face to face. Why was that important to get them all in the same room together?
It's a great meeting. We started doing this maybe 10 years ago, and rather than a bunch of one-off meetings that everybody's scheduling, we decided to bring all the vendors, so all the tent companies, pressure washers, landscapers, electricians, bring all the vendors that do work for those exhibitors and get them here on one day. And then all of the big exhibitors have the opportunity to come in and stand on their lot, talk about their plans for this year, the way they want to change their exhibit from the last time they were here in 22. Maybe they're growing or expanding or have a new product introduction. So they get together with their vendors and make sure that the plans that they're putting together are going to work on site, and also set the schedule so everybody can work together in terms of all those different vendors working together so that everything is perfect on August 27th.
And we saw, like you said, everybody working together here, trying to see where they're located at on the grounds as well. And you spoke to the group ahead of time, and it sounds like you're pretty excited, you know, every year for the show, but this year it seems like things are coming together even a little bit better because we're that much more removed from COVID.
Yeah, the shows, you know, we were able to have a show in 2021, and that obviously was impacted by COVID. And the last time we were here in 2022, there was still some COVID impacts and maybe not quite as much international travel, not as many international exhibitors, and maybe some folks that just didn't feel comfortable coming out. And you know, last year in 23, we were pretty confident the COVID was pretty well over. And now as I'm working through the process of filling up the exhibit field, you know, we can confidently say that this is going to be, we are back to pre-COVID levels and starting to beat things that we did back then. You know, really excited. We're getting a great turnout from brand new international exhibitors. Lots of people from Germany and Brazil and China and all over the globe signing up and wanting to exhibit at the show. And that's, you know, that's really exciting to see.
Is that kind of the ultimate test to see companies want to come from other countries? We know that here in the United States, Farm Progress Show is so well known, but for these international companies to step in, they clearly see the results of a great show like Farm Progress Show.
You know, I have a friend in Brazil who says that, you know, Farm Progress has as good a brand recognition in the corn and soybean regions of Brazil as it does here in the Midwest. And so, you know, and that's a little bit hard to believe, but pretty cool to be a part of that. And so, yeah, you know, all the technology is unveiled here that's being used around the globe. And so whether it's somebody who is a service provider to one of those OEMs, or it's somebody who has a product that is applicable here in the Midwest, we're seeing a lot of companies take their step into the United States by exhibiting at the Farm Progress Show.
And then the field demonstration portion, going to have a full show this year, and in fact, got the good news that the corn's already in the ground.
That is exactly right. At the 2 years ago when we were here, we weren't able to have field demonstrations, primarily because we didn't get the corn in the ground until May 19th. Well, here we stand in middle of April, and the corn is in the ground, and I went out and dug one up, and the sprout's about an inch and a half long. And so, yeah, you know, we couldn't be sitting any better when it in terms of field demonstration corn.
And Matt, you're a farmer yourself. Did you help out there?
I did not. I was keeping close eye on it, though. I was following right along, but at the same time, we were planting beans in Western Illinois.
He was in a supervising capacity, we will call it. Matt Youngman joining us here today from the Farm Progress Show grounds in Boone. Matt, thank you so much for the time. Appreciate it as always, and have a great rest of the time getting ready for the show.
Very good. Thank you very much, Mark.
April is full of monthly observances that center around food. So whether it's National Brunch Month, National Grilled Cheese Month, or my personal favorite, National Bacon, Lettuce, and Tomato Sandwich Month, farmers can be proud of the work they do to produce the foods that people eat all over the world. So if you take part in observing any of these food-related celebrations, make sure you thank the American farmers who produce the food of all kinds to meet every dietary preference and make these celebrations of and around food so much more memorable. This message from the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network.
The Iowa Soybean Association celebrates National Soy Foods this month in April. Did you know foods containing soy protein provide 9 essential amino acids and reduce the risk for heart disease? Foods made from soybeans such as edamame, tofu, and soy milk are packed with fiber, iron, and zinc. Create a healthy lifestyle while supporting Iowa farmers by consuming more soy-based foods. Brought to you by the Iowa Soybean Association, powered by the Soybean Checkoff, celebrating 60 years of moving the industry forward.
Well, just before we wrap up the show, Andy, you've got some news from us from the National Ag Statistics Service to share.
Yeah, we've been sort of watching the industrial hemp industry in Iowa. There's been a lot of excitement about this in certain sectors. It really hasn't panned out. And the numbers here are now out from 2023. 67 acres, that's down 48 acres from 2022. So that's going down. However, harvest is going up, as is value. The market is 2% higher than 2022.
Well, thanks for the update, Andy. And that is it for this week on Iowa Ag Matters. Have a good weekend. We'll see you next time.